Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Tuesday, August 25th, 2026, and this is episode 498. We are covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, August 24th. We have a really fascinating lineup today that touches on everything from European regulations crushing small hardware makers to massive leaps in mobile CPU performance, and even a radical idea to replace standard executable files with SQLite databases.
We are also going to talk about a pretty bleak report on some of Andreessen Horowitz's recent AI investments, and a deep dive reverse engineering of Microsoft Paint that reveals some sneaky, invisible watermarking. Let us jump right into our first story, which really struck a nerve on the site yesterday with over 1,100 points. The title is How Europe is Killing Makers and Micro-Entrepreneurs.
This piece was published by Alan Ponitrot on the Lectrons blog. Lectrons, for those who do not know, is a marketplace for open-source hardware makers and DIY electronics. The core issue here is the European Union's new Packaging and Packaging Waste Regulation, or PPWR, which went into effect earlier this month. The goal of the regulation is totally sensible on paper. It's an extended producer responsibility scheme, meaning businesses that put packaging out into the world should help pay for its collection and recycling.
Right. Nobody is arguing against recycling, but the implementation is a nightmare for small creators. Instead of a centralized EU system, it's fragmented across all the member states. The author gives a perfect example. Imagine a Greek engineer who designs a 25-euro open-source sensor board. In their first year, they sell 5 to Germany, 2 to France, 2 to Austria, and 1 to Belgium. Each board ships in a tiny anti-static bag and a padded envelope, creating maybe 50 grams of packaging waste per sale.
But because of this new law, that engineer is now legally a packaging waste producer in 4 different countries. To comply, they have to register and pay fees in each one. For France alone, it is about 300 euros a year in administrative fees and authorized representative costs. Add in Belgium, Germany, and Austria, and the barrier to entry to sell just 10 boards is over 1,100 euros a year. It completely destroys the viability of selling low-volume hardware experiments.
The comments on Hacker News were incredibly active on this. A user named M. Stauru pointed out how China handles this, which is by targeting the logistics choke points. Instead of going after millions of individual sellers, China regulates the massive logistics companies. If a package uses non-degradable plastic, the shipping company gets fined. They just pass a tiny fee along to the sender. It scales infinitely better.
Exactly. Why not just have DHL or local postal services charge an extra euro for recycling at the point of shipping? Another thread in the comments got into a debate about the fees we already pay on packages from China. Some users argued that the high volume of cheap, unnecessary goods from places like Temu is what caused these strict regulations in the first place. But as a user named RWNUS pointed out, if you want to repair electronics, China is often the only place you can buy specific spare parts, like random integrated circuits. Lumping essential repair components in with fast fashion waste is really hurting the right to repair movement in Europe.
It really is a classic case of a regulation designed for Amazon and massive corporations accidentally squashing the little guy. The author suggests some solutions, like an EU-wide minimum threshold for micro-enterprises, or a centralized one-stop-shop API for fees, similar to how VAT is handled. Hopefully, policymakers take notice before these marketplaces have to shut out European buyers entirely.
Moving on to our next story, let us talk about hardware of a very different scale. A tweet from Daniel Amir got a ton of attention yesterday, titled, Xiaomi new CPU matches Apple Core single-threaded, much faster multi-threaded.
This is about Xiaomi's new X-Ring O3 processor. According to leaked Geekbench numbers, it is scoring around 3945 in single-core and a massive 15221 in multi-core. Amir pointed out some insane architecture details. The chip has 44 megabytes of cache, which is more than most laptop CPUs. The biggest cores, the C1 Ultra cores, are astonishingly wide, with 21 execution ports. 6 of those support 128-bit SIMD operations.
For context, that is more execution ports than you have on your current Intel or AMD desktop processor. We are seeing a massive trend toward cores that are massively parallel in terms of execution units. All those extra transistors from the TSMC 3-nanometer process are going into cache and allowing many independent math operations per cycle.
The Hacker News comments brought a lot of nuance to these raw numbers. A user named Kasek pointed out that the C1 Ultra Core is actually an ARM design, the same one used in the MediaTek Dimensity 9500. So Xiaomi is essentially reaching parity with MediaTek, which is a huge deal since Xiaomi is the third largest smartphone manufacturer in the world.
But you also have the classic mobile chip caveat, which a user named Coldstream brought up. Mobile chips have brilliant performance for about 15 seconds until they thermal throttle. That 15-second burst is great for launching an app or loading a heavy web page, but you're not going to be compiling massive code bases or rendering video at that peak speed for long, because the phone form factor just can't dissipate the heat.
There was also a fascinating geopolitical discussion in the thread. A Chinese tech giant designing a flagship chip that competes with Apple is a big deal. But as user BriBri pointed out, this Xiaomi chip is manufactured by TSMC in Taiwan. The interdependence of the global semiconductor supply chain is still very much intact, despite all the political posturing. The hardware landscape is shifting fast, but everyone still relies on TSMC's foundries at the end of the day.
From the bleeding edge of hardware, let us look at what some of that compute power is actually being used for. Our third story is an investigative piece from Model Republic, titled Andreessen Horowitz is Investing Billions into a Bleak Future.
This was a heavy read. The article looks at the portfolio of the venture capital firm A16Z, specifically focusing on companies that seem to exploit legal loopholes or create socially damaging products. The main example they highlight is a company called DoubleSpeed, which A16Z invested $1 million into. DoubleSpeed explicitly markets itself as the only VC-backed bot farm in America.
Yeah, their promotional video literally says, "Why let Russia and China have all the fun? Welcome to the dead internet." What they do is use massive phone farms to create and manage thousands of fake TikTok accounts. They use AI to mimic human behavior, scrolling, pausing, commenting, so the platform algorithms think they are real people. Then they use these AI-generated influencer accounts to push products.
And the products they are pushing are highly questionable. The founder admitted on a podcast that their best niche is targeting older people with wild claims about health supplements. A recent data leak showed these AI-generated personas pretending to be sick in hospital beds, complaining about medical conditions, and then miraculously finding a cure using a specific foam roller or herbal supplement sold by DoubleSpeed's clients.
The Hacker News comments were incredibly cynical but insightful. A user named PulkitSchwan234 quoted Machiavelli, saying that the powerful have just distanced themselves from moral qualms. They see human tendencies and just capitalize on them, viewing it as a coordination problem where if they do not do it, someone else will.
Another user, Akuda, brought up the economic endgame of all this. If the goal of these AI startups is to never pay a human again and to automate all marketing and content creation, who is left to actually buy the products? If the population is too poor from job displacement, the whole consumer economy collapses.
That sparked a whole subthread comparing this trajectory to science fiction novels like Neal Stephenson's Seven Eves or Werner Vinge's Marooned in Real Time. The idea of a low population paradise where the ultra wealthy live in a world serviced entirely by machines. It is a dark conversation, but it really highlights the friction between the push for unregulated AI development and the actual societal impact of the business models being funded right now.
Speaking of AI being integrated into our lives in ways we might not expect, our next story is a fascinating piece of reverse engineering. The post is titled, "MS Paint and Photos Invisibly Watermark Even Locally Generated Output with GUID."
This is by security researcher Xuxian Li. He decided to poke around the AI image generation features that Microsoft recently added to Paint on Copilot Plus PCs. He found that Paint actually ships with local AI models, about 300 megabytes of ONNX files sitting right on your hard drive. But when you type in a prompt to generate an image, it doesn't just run it locally.
Right. It first sends your prompt to an Azure cloud endpoint for moderation. If the server approves the prompt, it sends back a response that includes a 16-byte GUID, or globally unique identifier. Li discovered that Paint takes this GUID and uses a content-adaptive block domain algorithm to embed it as an invisible watermark directly into the pixels of the generated image.
What is crazy is that Paint already has a setting for a visible watermark, which just puts a little Copilot logo in the corner. But this invisible watermark is completely separate and you cannot turn it off. Li found that it changes over 190,000 pixels in a standard 512 by 512 image. It is mathematically woven into the image data.
Microsoft has stated they add C2PA metadata to AI images, which is the industry standard for content provenance. But metadata can be stripped out easily. This invisible pixel-level watermark is much harder to remove. The privacy implications here are what caught the attention of Hacker News. Because you have to be logged into a Microsoft account to use these features, that GUID could theoretically be tied directly to your identity. If an image you generated locally ever ends up somewhere controversial on the internet, Microsoft could potentially trace it right back to your specific Windows account.
The comments were split between people alarmed by the privacy aspect and people just lamenting what has happened to MS Paint. User Clickety Clack said it is a shock to hear that Paint is not just a point-and-click pixel app anymore, and that Microsoft should have just made a separate AI image app.
Though some users did defend the new features, a user named PXO pointed out that the new AI background removal tool in Paint is actually incredibly useful and saves a ton of time for quick edits. But for the purist out there, someone linked to JS Paint, which is a perfect web-based clone of the classic 90s MS Paint, completely free of AI and watermarks.
All right, let us wrap up today with something truly out of the box. Our final story is titled Executable is a SQLite Database, written by Fareed Zakaria.
This is one of those ideas that sounds completely unhinged at first, but makes total sense the more you read. Fareed has been working on a project called SELF, which stands for Structured Executable and Linkable Format. He wants to replace the standard ELF binary format used in Linux with a SQLite database.
His argument is that an ELF file is already just a poorly implemented database. It has string interning, hand-rolled indexes, and a table of tables. But because the format is so old and was designed for an era where every byte mattered, it is incredibly rigid. Every tool that analyzes binaries has to write its own custom parser.
So Fareed built a prototype where the executable you run is literally a SQLite database file. It has a table for the program segments, a table for the symbols, and standard database indexes. If you want to run the strip command to remove debug symbols, you do not need a complex binary manipulation tool. You literally just run a SQL query that says delete from sections and then vacuum the database.
I love the technical implementation of this. He uses the Linux bin format MISC subsystem, which lets you register custom interpreters for different file magics. SQLite actually reserves a 4-byte application ID in its header specifically for custom formats. So he stamps it with self, registers a tiny C interpreter, and the Linux kernel just runs the database.
The Hacker News community absolutely ate this up. User Andai was blown away by the concept of SQLite virtual tables, pointing out how powerful it is to mount your file system or executable as a SQL database.
Fareed actually jumped into the comments himself. He mentioned that when he submitted this idea as a short paper in academic circles, the feedback was not very kind. He said peer review circles are often obsessed purely with performance and have a hard time with low-level primitives that border on software art.
Which is exactly why Hacker News is the perfect place for this project. The community loves a radical creative hack. A user named XJ6W9DTD started brainstorming all the crazy things you could do with this, like writing SQL triggers that act as plugin hooks, or modifying the database at runtime to hot swap dependencies without restarting the application. It is a brilliant thought experiment that actually works in practice.
It really is. Well, that is going to do it for us today. 5 very different stories, but all pushing the boundaries of how we interact with technology, for better or worse.
Thank you so much for listening to HN Todd. We will be back tomorrow with another breakdown of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, have a great day.